Welcome to another Thursday night here on CARE Radio and another edition of Sports Look. It's brought to you by, of course, our great sponsors, including Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Taco John's. Gus Counts with me, Tom Counts. Gus, we got great football coming your way here on CARE Radio. Tomorrow night, it'll be back to the high school games, and a lot of people have been looking at this one as an early season matchup between two contenders for the crown of the NEKL. We'll be in Effingham, JCN at ACCHS tomorrow night, 7 o'clock kickoff here on CARE. Saturday evening, not afternoon, started to say that, Saturday evening, the Benedictine Ravens will be in Iowa. It'll be BC at Graceland, pregame on CARE 5:45. It is a 6 o'clock kickoff in Lamoni at Bruce Jenner Stadium. Well, first of all, I think we need to kind of take a look over the shoulder. High school football season around the area got started last week. Gus, we went down to Ottawa. We saw a game. If you like a little offense, if you like some points rolled up on the board, well, we got 90 of them last week. Pretty good start.
Yeah, we talked about it there throughout the game about we're going to see the unicorn. We're now going to get to a combined 100 points. And I think I said at halftime, I thought they would maybe fizzle out a little bit. And they did, right? When we got to halftime, it was like, I don't like this scoreboard up. Third quarter slowed down. We saw a few more turnovers. We saw the ball play maybe in the middle of the field a little more, picked up at the end. And Atchison, it was a close game, right? 48-42 according to the final score. I never felt like it was that close, right? Coach Smith's team looked like they were in charge from not the opening kick because Ottawa was able to take that to the house, but soon after that, Atchison just looked in control of that game and Ottawa scored a late one to kind of make it a little closer.
Yeah, but, you know, just quickly touching on Ottawa, we'll never see them again this year, but I got to give them hats off. Never threw in the towel.
No, I mean, they played all the way to the end, and I think that's probably why that score was so close. But a good test, I think, though, for Atchison in week one to just kind of see where you're at coming into the season.
Yeah, and for Atchison, we saw them do a lot of things well. Their defense, I mean, it says 42 points, but as you mentioned, they played a whole lot of players, and you know that may be not indicative of how good the defense is. The offense, they ran the ball, threw the ball, special teams, and by the way, the defense had the Jeter 106-yard interception return for a score, so Atchison looks very strong, and Phoenix fans who thought, oh, this could be a really good year, I think can continue to really believe in this team.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a really tough out, especially when it comes to, you know, Meadowlark League play, looking to repeat there.
Hey, look around the old Meadowlark. What do you say? Last Friday night, Schlegel blanked Harmon 44-0. It was Washington at home over Sumner 39-20. And Highland Park, I consider them still the newcomer to the group. They went to Wyandotte, winning handily 33-7. So I think, and you never know again, it's week one. I get a feeling, I kind of get a vibe that overall, not necessarily every team, but as a group, the Meadowlark is going to be a stronger, you know, more competitive conference this year than it has been in the past couple.
Yeah, I mean, you start looking at the numbers, like Schlegel scores 44, Washington scores 39, Highland Park on the lower end of that spectrum with their 33, but I do think that you have four good teams in this conference for sure. I mean, then you're going to get, you know, teams like Harmon who are going to struggle a little bit, but, you know, hope to see them get in the win column this season.
Around the Northeast Kansas League last Friday, it was ACCHS, again, where we're going to be tomorrow night. They handled Valley Falls 48-16. And JC and their opponent tomorrow night, 62-0 over Pleasant Ridge. So both of those teams found offense and found a lot of it.
Yeah, and for ACCHS, they got behind early in that game. And then all of a sudden, it's like things started to click in the second quarter. And then they reel off 48 points and come away with a nice win over Valley Falls. You know, you talk about JCN. Last week, we were thinking, you know, that's a close game. Those two schools between JCN and Pleasant Ridge, it's a little bit of a rivalry because of their, you know, close proximity. JCN, 62 points. That's a lot of points in week one.
That's a lot of points. I mean you got to be scoring. You got to score every possession.
And especially, right? In high school football, when you know you get into that second half, and then you start running into that whole running clock business. So, yeah, I mean that's an impressive number for JCN.
Jackson Heights rolled up a lot of points in winning their season opener. They went to Horton, winning at 42-6. McLouth, and an out-of-conference game with a season-starting win as they defeat Onega on the road 30-26. And then rounding it out, the closest game, a bit of a heartbreaker for the Ravens up at Guy Galley Field as Oskaloosa comes away with a 14-8 W.
Yeah, 14-8. I mean, you're within a score. That's a heartbreaker. You know, but for Morehill Mount Academy, you got to start putting things back together because as quickly as that, it's back to game week, and you're going to be on the road and a tough opponent.
Yeah, looking around what's going on around the conferences tomorrow night, this week's schedule, Atchison will travel to play Sumner at the Schlegel Field. So it'll be Atchison playing Sumner at Schlegel High School's football field. And so Atchison, they're going to start the season with kind of that heavy-loaded road portion of the season early, and then later in the year they're going to get to come back home for some home games.
Yeah, what, three of their final four games are at home.
Schlegel, since they don't have a field to play on, they're loaning it out. They're going to be on the road at Highland Park in the Topeka area. It'll be Harmon at Washington. That's a big game for both of these teams, a chance that, you know, a W that they both will really, really want to have.
Yeah, I think that should be a closely matched game.
And then, crossing the border, you're going to have Wyandotte at home with Ruskin High School out of Missouri.
Doesn't it seem like Ruskin and, what, maybe even Lincoln Prep kind of jump in and play a handful of these? Because I think, you know, probably just trying to fill out the schedule, and these teams are pretty close and in the metro area, and so no reason not to play them.
Absolutely. And you move over to the NEKL. Northeast Kansas League schedule, again, JCN at Atchison County, 7 o'clock, we'll be there. Marhill Mount Academy goes on the road, and they'll be just north of Holton at Jackson Heights. Oskaloosa hosting Pleasant Ridge. It'll be Horton at McLouth, and out of conference, you find Valley Falls traveling to Troy. So there are, I think, in the NEKL, I think you got five really good matchups.
Yeah, and how many times do we talk about that? You look up and down a schedule, and you're like, oh, there's a game that I like, maybe two. But this week in the Northeast Kansas League, I mean, there's a handful of games to really look at, and, you know, next Thursday night we'll be able to really get a good feel about where this league is headed this year.
Move your cursor to mscsports.net and check out the calendar, check out the broadcast schedule for all the games going on around the area. We cover a lot of them, and it will be here on Care Radio Friday Night, JCN at ACCHS, and right prior to the game, you can hear the Friday Night Fever show here on Care Radio.
And after the game.
And then after the game, it's going to be the scoreboard show, and if you want all-inclusive, that's where you're going to want to be. We'll be right back. We've got tons more to talk about as Sports Look continues here on Care. Welcome back to Sports Look here on Care Radio, and we shift to college football from the high school football conversation. And Gus, Saturday, the Benedictine Ravens got their season record evened up and began conference play at home at Wilcox Stadium. They hosted Clark, and well, it was just a runaway Raven freight train, wasn't it?
Yeah, what do they say? If ifs and buts, well, let's just leave it there. But, yeah, the BC offense puts up 63 points on Clark, and now let's not get carried away that Clark is going to be some really good team in the conference. They've done nothing since they've come into the Heart. But the Benedictine offense looked much different on Saturday than it did the Saturday previous against Morningside. I get it, Morningside's a good team, but BC was, you know, Jackson Dooley was quick with a lot of his reads. The offense looked like they started to click. We started to see Jay Sean and Jacob get mixed in a little more. And, I mean, this team is going to be hard to beat from here on out.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. Benedictine doing one of the things as an offensive coach, a coordinator that you like to see, You scored on what, your first five or six possessions of the game? You scored, not just scored, but you scored touchdowns on those first possessions. Jumped out to a massive lead early in the ball game. I mean, you look around and you're already up 35-0, and it was a boat race from there.
Yeah, and for Benedict and 24 first downs, you were 6 of 10 on third down. When you hit 60% of third downs, it's going to be a real good day because the other team can't get your offense off of the field. You threw for 451 yards. You had 620 total yards of offense. And Jackson Dooley, how about this? 13 of 17, 304 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Had the long touchdown pass, was his first touchdown of the day, that 63-yard strike to Jacob Gathright. And he did all that in the first half.
Yeah, didn't play at all in the second half. And as I recall, I'm just trying to like remember back, and that's not always accurate, but I thought he completed maybe his first 11 passes.
Yep, exactly. He completed the first 11 because we were laughing that then the 12th one was incomplete, and so he had to work on his, you know,
gotta
efficiency. But, you know, and then Luke Laskowski got his nod in the second half, and
very respectable, 8 of 12.
Yeah, he was 8 of 12 for 141 and threw 2 touchdowns. Braden Boyles got a little cleanup time. He completed his only pass of the day for 6 yards. The Ravens really filled it up when it comes to running backs. We saw lots of different guys run the football.
That brings me to a question. I mean, you're looking at what, 2, 4, 6, 8, 11 guys ran the ball? 11 different players. Is that what I got?
Yeah, 11 guys rushed the ball, 11 guys caught the ball. So you had 11 rushers, 11 pass catchers. And on the offensive side, when it comes to receivers, I really like to see these two names at the top. Every game, like, I like all your receivers, but at the end of the day, your top receivers need to be Jacob and Jayshon, right? I don't care who's one, who's two, but it needs to be somebody in that order, and it was. Jacob Gathright, 4 catches, 109 yards, and a touchdown. Jayshon, 4 for 94, and a touchdown. So, you know, good to see those guys getting into the offense and really moving this thing forward.
Reed Levi had a couple of catches for 73. We're going to talk to Reed in our third segment coming up here a little bit, so stick around. You're going to meet Reed Levi. We're going to visit with him, and then You've been a Tanner Zimmerman fan, a TZ guy all the way through.
Yeah, so I laugh because the tight end room has to be a little funny right now. Because last week, Reed catches 2 passes. He gets, 73 yards and a touchdown. Tanner Zimmerman says, I can't get 73 yards, but I can catch touchdowns every time I touch the ball, right? 2 catches, 2 touchdowns, and he only, though, had 49 yards receiving. So
that's because the end zone was too close. He could have gone further.
Yeah, and then if you're Court Madsen, you're sitting there and you're going, I was 1 for 5, and the one where they missed me on, I probably walk into the end zone for a touchdown. So, yeah, these Raven tight ends are probably the best in the conference.
I don't think there's any question about it. So, anyway, Benedictin looking very, very good. And this Saturday, we're going to have Raven football, but first, if you've got the scores from the heart from last week in front of you, don't you?
Games around the conference last week. William Penn hits a walk-off grand slam. No, maybe not. But they do beat Missouri Baptist 6-2 in a football game. Baker at home with Peru State. Baker wins 36-17. Graceland beats Central Methodist 48-7. Valley at home, no problems with Culver Stockton, 28-7. And Grandview goes to Mid-America in a game that we kind of had some eyes on, figuring that might be a close game. It wasn't. Grandview wins 24-7 over Mid-America.
Okay, and let me see. I've got to tell you, I'm just pulling up because it's driving me crazy how you end up with a 6-2 ball game. William Penn hitting a field goal in the first and third quarters, and then Missouri Baptist scores a safety with 7 minutes to play in the game. That could have been devastating for Penn. I mean, you give up 2 points and the ball, and if Missouri Baptist would have been able to move it at all, I mean, you could have lost that game pretty easily if you're Penn.
Okay, question for you.
Sure.
Missouri Baptist is, let's just say it, they're bad.
They're not good.
They haven't been good at football for the last handful of years. Over, under, do they score 30 points this year? Total.
Oh, on the year. Yeah, you know, that's...
No, no chance because William Penn is one of the worst teams in the conference, and you could only muster 2 points against that team.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Score it against Benedictine?
Surely.
Grandview? Baker? Mid-America? I mean,
all of those teams you named are going to get up by 70, and they're going to put in, you know, they're going to, you know, be substituting so deeply, and there'll be a moment of confusion where they get close enough for a couple of field goals. Come on.
Okay.
I don't know.
But this week, we're going to find out some things about Missouri Baptist, right? They get to go to Des Moines.
Yeah.
So.
You really think we're going to learn anything at all?
Yeah, we're going to learn how many points Grandview can really score in a game.
How many light bulbs they have on their high school field they play on down there?
Yeah, at the Duke, right? Games going on this week around the conference. Clark is going to be on the road. They'll be at Liston Stadium. That'll be an 11 a.m. game. Coach Riggs against his old team.
Clark's got to be tired of the road trips, man, already, don't they? Last week you go all the way to Atchison. And then let's just go ahead and go another, hour and a half farther than that and travel on down to Baker the next week.
But then the following week, they get to be home. And then the week after that, they're at Mid-America.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, this is a bad travel year for them. So, again, the 11 a.m. game is Coach Riggs takes his old team up against his other old team, who's in now his new team. Anyway, confusing. Missouri Baptist will be at Grandview. That is a noon kickoff. The rest of them are at night.
Yeah.
Missouri Valley is going to go to Penn. And
Statesman under the lights.
I see that. Central Methodist is going to be at Culver for a 6 o'clock game. Mid-America at Peru for a 6 o'clock game, and Benedictine at Graceland for a 6 o'clock game.
Okay,
so up there for a handful.
Did you look through the conference? Clark at Baker's not going to be good. Baptist at Grandview's not going to be good. Valley and Penn might be competitive because I don't think either one of them is particularly good. You got Central and Culver again, two teams that aren't playing really well. Mid-America at Peru, and I haven't figured out Peru. I thought they were going to be maybe a little bit better than that before last week, and they get beaten around by Baker after having lost to Hastings game one. So Peru comes into this one at 0-2, and that's no way to start a year.
Yeah, and Benedictine Graceland? I know Graceland's been scoring some points, and they need that. But last year, they were scoring some points, too, and then Benedictine beat them 73-32. So, I just don't see any games that, again, we talk about games you circle. There are no games this week that I sit there and go, man, I really am excited to see the score of fill in the blank. But, I am interested to see that Grandview, Missouri Baptist. I just am interested to see if Baptist can score, right, and how many Grandview
you're
really
you're going
does
with
score.
The over under 30 points on the season for Missouri Baptist. What do you see as a Grandview offensive production in this game? 80?
Yeah, I would probably set it at, I would give you Baptist in like 72.5,
uh-huh,
right? I think they'll be somewhere in that 75 points on the day. You know, if they get crazy, which I wouldn't be shocked either,
they want
because they want a statement game. And if you start looking around at the rankings and stuff like that, there are some games going on this week that would help for, because next week
the very first poll
yeah, comes out. But who is somebody's at Drake this weekend, which, you know, maybe Northwestern's at Drake, I think, this weekend, which should hurt them. Kaiser lost to Valdosta the other day. So, again, there are some chances for them to move up to one, maybe, you know, two, maybe even one in the national polls. So,
I'm just trying to figure out who Drake has. Well, this week, Drake has Northwestern.
There you go.
It's going to be a 6 o'clock ball game in Des Moines.
So, again, yeah. And I think all eyes around the nation, though, are looking at Kaiser Lindsey Wilson. I think that is probably the national game of the week this week.
Well, going to be a great game for us. And again, we're looking forward to bringing you Benedictine football like we do absolutely every week. The Ravens here on Care Radio 545 for the pregame show. We'll get with Coach Osborne, get your keys to the game, and get this thing ready to go. And we're going to talk to Jayshon at halftime of the game Saturday night. We'll be back stick around. We got Reed Levi coming up. Benedictine tight end, very interesting young man. You're going to enjoy meeting him. And we got much more to cover. Sportler continues here on CARE.
We're visiting with Reed Levi, Benedictine football player, tight end. Reed, it's good to talk to you, man. How's it going?
Good. Great to be here. Good to see you, Tom.
All right. We got to start off first with the Reed bio. Tell me a little bit about the background, home, you know, and all of that.
Yeah. So I'm from Kansas City. I went to Rockers High School. Played for the great Tony Severino. I went to his last state championship with him. Sadly, we lost to CBC from St. Louis. Nevertheless, it was a great ride. Came to Benedictine, been playing here for the last 4 years, so fifth year right now, ready to get after it.
Okay, tell me about the trip getting here. Who recruited you? How did you, and let's be realistic, 6'4", 235, we're kind of the same build guys, so we had a lot of options to go to play and play different sports. How did you pick football? How did you pick Benedictine?
Yeah, so in high school I played, you know, basketball, baseball, ran track, obviously played football. Then my junior year I just decided that I wanted to play football. Coach Wilcox is one that recruited me. You know, I never actually visited campus, so came up here, committed, loved it right away. And, you know, Coach Papa Giorgio was the guy when my first fall camp told me, hey, you know what, you can play for us. You just got to study and learn the playbook, and I did that. So I was able to play my whole freshman year. And then Coach Osborne came in sophomore year, and I was, you know, a little 6'2" receiver my freshman year, about, you know, 195 pounds, and I came back my sophomore year, and I was about 6'4", 260, and they said, you're going to play tight end. So kind of been a good move for me, and we're going from there.
What'd you play? What was your position in high school for the Hawklets?
So I played receiver and safety.
Okay, and so it's really not a big change, because the Benedictine tight end is not, you know, is not the old school guy who's lined up on the edge of the line.
Yeah, yeah, we're kind of more like a fullback. So we'll run some power insert, we'll run some ISO stuff. But also we'll split out wide, you know, we'll run goal line fades and all that fun stuff. So it's been a good change of pace for me.
Let's also talk about the important thing, academics. Give me your major. Tell me what you're working on.
Yeah, so I majored in management. I'm starting my master's right now and applying to law school. So doing all those fun things and just grinding away.
So what's the overall plan? The Reed Levi 5 years from today, where do I find you?
Hopefully have both my master's and my law degree and helping to change the world, you know, one step at a time.
Awesome. Love a guy wears a single digit. Is that you? Did you wear that in high school? How did you come up with the number?
Yeah, so I actually wore 5 in high school. 5 was my favorite number because of Albert Pujols. I was a big baseball guy growing up.
Whoa, not George Brett. You're
in
Kansas City, man.
No, Albert Pujols. you know, when I got here, I was 83 my freshman year, and then my sophomore year, Schaefer Schutz, who was a very good mentor of mine my freshman year, Coach Wilcox called me in his office and said, hey, I'm going to give you number 9. So I've been number 9 ever since my sophomore year, and I wear it proudly.
You talk about Coach Wilcox, Coach Osborne. How's the playbook changed?
Oh, it's vastly different. You know, it was very smash-mouth football. You know, we maybe had, you know, 10 routes as receivers that we really had to know how to run. Now it's every week it's changing, and we're doing different stuff. We're inside, we're outside. You know, we're running that power. We're in the run game. We're on the RPOs. So it's really different. I like it. It's fast-paced, so you got to really be quick on your feet and be able to learn.
And, of course, at your height, last year they used you a lot, really goal line stuff a lot. I mean, I'm trying to remember right off the top, like maybe 4 touchdowns in your first 5 catches last year, some number wacky like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was last year we really had a breakout year overall as a team. You know, we had Jacob Gathright and Jayshon Todd, and they were huge threats. And they, you know, got open a lot, and a lot of the interior guys were focused on me for some reason. So those guys got to showcase their talents, and they did really well, and I'm excited to see what they can do this year.
The stable of tight ends, I mean, just because you're a fifth-year guy, they're guys pushing you, because you've got some great fellow tight ends on this team.
Yeah, we do. We got a young guy who's a sophomore now. He's a freshman last year, Tanner Zimmerman. Big kid, really big kid. He's about an inch taller than me, weighs about 10 pounds less, though. Nevertheless, he's a sponge. He loves to learn. He's really going to make an impact this year, so be on the lookout for him.
A little more personal stuff about you. Certainly, congratulations. The Football Coaches Association nominated you for a really tremendous award that I don't think people maybe know enough about, because there are only, what, like 23 guys in the nation in every division who get this, and so congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's... You know, I came to Benedictine and I really wanted to do something more than just be a football player. It's funny, I actually was reading a paper that I wrote in one of my freshman English classes about I want to be more than just a football player. So, you know, it really is a testament to what I set out to do when I came here. and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it's the Good Works program, and yes. You also find yourself doing a lot of other things. You know, you're mentoring, you're doing a lot of that stuff. You're a speaker at a lot of different get-togethers, and, you know, even when they had the big ball in Kansas City, I look up on the stage and I see Reed.
Yeah, you know, I'm really big about the youth here in Atchison. We coach flag football, me and our starting quarterback, Luke Laskowski. We get to see the kids all over town. We'll go to some of their events, their basketball games this summer. We're actually doing a thing at St. Benedict's grade school this coming semester. We're going to go to the PE class and hang out with some of the kids. We're really big. We're about loving and serving others. Coach Osborne tells us that every day. So it's only natural that, you know, we embody that as leaders of the team, and we continue to push that forward.
Let's talk about this team a little bit. First of all, it's got so much promise. I mean, last year's team, you know, a tremendous season. We ended up in Indiana. I have to think that this year's team has got some high aspirations.
Yeah, you know, we were so close last year. You know, I've been here for 5 years, like I said, and we've grown every year. So I came in with that team, just went to the national championship, the same guys, you know, but the formula wasn't there. And now we have that formula, we're building this team, we're adding pieces, and I think we're going to do something really special this year.
Let's talk about the team and the camaraderie. I come to practice because I can't get enough, I'm just that crazy. But tell you what, I you get a vibe. I mean, this team is really tight-knit, it's close, and you have a feel out there.
Yeah, we're super close this year. It's been a culmination of the last 3 years of we really wanted to hone in on our culture, you know, doing things that take no talent, doing your 111th, having great attitude and effort, loving and serving others. So everybody's really bought into that, and it's really brought us close together. You know, everybody loves each other. You know, we really compete on the field, but once the whistles blow, we're back up in the locker room, we're all buddies again. And I think it's really going to help us in those dog days of the season. It helped us in the dog days of fall camp, and I think we're going to do something really special this year.
Talk to me a little bit about this 111. Every player who I visit with, that comes up in a conversation, and so this has to be, there's something about that. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, controlling what you can control. So, you know, it's, you know, for us, it's not necessarily, it's not telling the receivers what to do or the O-line what to do. It's controlling what we can do. It's doing our job for the betterment of the team. So whether that's, you know, going to class, whether it's on the field actually doing your assignment, you know, your AAS, your alignment, your assignment, and the snap count. You know, out in the community, you know, on the weekends, just being a Benedictine College football player and embodying that, that's doing your 111th.
You talk about all of the things that you do besides just football. Walk me through a Reed Levi day, because it sounds like from the minute you wake up, and what time that is, I'm curious, is the whole day is just packed with stuff.
Yeah, it got pretty crazy last semester, so I was preparing for the LSAT. So I was actually taking classes that were online. They were online, and they were over in England, actually. So so I'd get up at about 4 o'clock, and I'd prep for class. And then I'd go to weights at about 6 a.m., and then we'd usually watch some film. I'd go to class all day, and then I'd go to work in the president's office. And then we'd come back. We'd have special teams meetings, position meetings. Then we'd have practice. Then I'd get done with that, and 3 nights a week I'd have night class. So I wouldn't get done with my day until about 9 o'clock, and then homework, studying, got to see the fiance. So days are definitely busy. I'm glad that that's behind me. A little bit more of a chill semester this semester, so I'm excited to get after it.
Sounds like sleep's kind of an option, really.
Yeah, it's optional.
What do you do for President Menace up in on the Hill?
Yeah, so it varies. So we run a Gregorian Fellows leadership class, so it's a leadership group on this campus. We have different speakers that come in every Monday, so I help them run that class. And then any big events on campus, so like you mentioned, the scholarship ball is a big thing that I'm involved in. We have a lot of big visitors that come on campus. Like last year, we had Coach Lou Holtz. We had the president of Hungary come. So we'll have some big visitors that come. Harrison Butker came a couple semesters ago. So when we get those big people on campus, it's kind of my job to keep him kind of, you know, calm, cool, and collected, and also just make sure that our guests are having a good time.
To get to where you're at right now, you had to have had some great mentors, and I'd like to talk about two different versions. Number one, we've been talking about President Menace. You mentioned possibly going to law school. Here's a guy, you know, who is an attorney before he came back to school here to become president. So in that venue, he's got to be a real mentor for you.
Yeah, he was, but ultimately, you know, my dad passed away about, I think, 3 years ago now. And he was one. He always wanted me to go to law school. It's something he always wanted to do. He ended up getting his master's in architecture. And he's kind of pushed that on me. And so I told, before he passed, I told him that's something that I would try to do. I told him I'd try to go to law school, and if I didn't like it, then I wouldn't do it. But, you know, I'm going through the steps now. So I think he's probably the biggest mentor on that side of the ball.
And now, of course, you talk about the ball. Football-wise, you played for a legendary high school coach, but where are the other people who was also maybe mentoring you or whose footsteps you wanted to follow?
Yeah, football-wise, I'd say there's probably two people. So the first is a guy by the name of Corby Jones. He played at University of Missouri back in the 90s. He's my next-door neighbor. And he was the one, you know, in high school, I was ineligible my sophomore year, so I lost a whole year of playing football. So I really didn't start playing football until my junior year of high school. And he was the one that really, you know, pounded into me that I could actually be a good football player if I really gave it my all. And then my receivers coach in high school, so he was, so we had two receivers coach, one who left my junior year, and then we had one come in, his name's Brandon Severino. He's Coach Severino's oldest son. And he was just really instrumental in building my confidence. He's the one that gave me my first start in high school. Was the one that pushed for me to get the ball thrown to me in high school. And then we just have conversations and talk every single day about how I can grow and be a better football player. So I think those are two guys that really paved the path for me in my football career.
Talking to Reed Levi, Reed, do you still have pretty close ties, I have to imagine, with the Rockhurst High School program?
Yeah. You know, Coach Donahoe was, he was coaching. You know, we played Blue Springs, I think, three or four times in my high school career. So I knew him and he knew me. So I'll still go back. I know a lot of the teachers and coaches there. So I'll still go back and lift and have breakfast with some of my old teachers. I'm still very involved in that community. I'll go talk to the pro-life club there and some other different clubs, juggling club, meat club. I love Coach Donahoe. I love what he's doing there. I think he's really paving the way for the future of what football can be there. It's very similar to what's going on, you know, here at Benedictine. They have an established coach that's coming in and kind of changing the culture. So it's cool to see that happening in a place that I, you know, was at before.
And maybe there's a little bit of a pipeline to Rockhurst from Rockhurst High School to Benedictine coming up because you're not the only Hawklet here.
Yeah. So we got Tim Glazer here, who I actually played with at Rockhurst. We also had Joe Glazer, who was here last year. We played together. Harry O'Neill and I actually played in the same room. So we were receivers in high school. We were tight ends in college together. So we've had quite a few Hawklets come through. You know, hopefully we can get a few more to come here.
Come game day, does Reed Levi have any superstitions? Are there any things that you do, any routine that you go through before every game day that is just kind of like, this is how you have to do it to make it feel right?
Yeah, you know, it's going to sound weird, but my very first game my freshman year, I woke up at 6:03, you know, I had no alarms, nothing. So every day I wake up at 6:03 on game days, and I'll go to the grotto with my fiance, and we'll say Hail Mary, we'll say Rosary, actually, and then I'll walk down to breakfast, we'll do breakfast, and then I'll go out and walk the field, and when I walk the field, I have to walk every single hash, you know, from the sideline, middle left, middle right, and then other sideline hashes. So I got to touch every hash, and inspect the field goal post, and then I'm ready to go.
Awesome. Now, you've been at two excellent programs, you've been at two excellent schools, and, you know, there are a lot of kids who are watching and say, man, I want to do some of the same things. I want to go and play some college ball, and I want to be successful. I want to have what's obviously a very bright future. What kind of advice would you give some high school guy who comes up to you and says, you know, Reed, how'd you get where you've gotten? What would you suggest for me? Got advice?
Yeah, I mean, it's just putting in the hours. It's doing things that nobody else wants to do. Whatever level you're at in college football, you know, it takes hard work to be a really good player. So, you know, people think you can come play NAIA football and just show up and be great, but it takes a grind every single day to be the best player you can be.
Got one last question before I let you go, the most ridiculous question, but I love it because I don't know. I feel like I learned something about a guy. Pick one, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man. Where are you at?
Oh, man. I'd probably say Superman, or no, I'd say Spider-Man, because on the wet days when you can't catch the ball, it'd be nice to throw a web out there just to get it and haul it in. So, yeah, definitely Spider-Man.
There you go. Reed Levi, it was a pleasure, as always. We wish you great success, you and your team this year. Go Ravens, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tom.
Good to have you with us here on KAIR-FM Horton Atchison. Don't forget, stick around right after Sports Look. Here we've got all the coaches
interviews, coaches, insight shows. So stick around. We've got a lot more sports coming here on Care. But right now, Gus, we got to hit that rapid fire segment, and we're going to talk about the.
If it sounds like I'm a long ways away, it's because I'm like foot out the door, trying to race home any second now. And
a little over an hour from kickoff.
Telling you, it's crazy what they started lining up at Arrowhead. I think like at 4:30 this morning, there was already lines out the gate. People have been excited. It should just be bonkers,
now,
right?
And you could say all that, and I totally agree. However, I have spoken in the course of the last 24 hours with a number of Kansas City Chiefs fans, and maybe it's just a football fan mentality, but they're kind of concerned. Travis Kelce's been announced that he's not going to play, and the Detroit Lions are an improving team, and they could even win that division.
Yeah, they could win that division.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to go with, I think the third best team in the AFC West could probably win that division, right? Like I don't think it's a great division. I think
the black and blue.
Yeah, I think that.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins
it's like
up
the Big
there.
Ten, right? It's
you got Fields up there. You know, you got some guys.
But I think that, you know, for Chiefs fan right now, you are a little worried about that. But this is going to be the first time the Chiefs fan actually gets to enjoy a Super Bowl celebration. Right? Because the last time you had a small stadium because of COVID and things like that. Like, this is it. You're on the big stage. Everybody's excited to, you know, unfurl that banner and enjoy the season. But as a fan of the X's and O's, I'm really excited for this game because even though there is no Kelce, it means Patrick's going to have to start finding some of those other guys, get them mixed in a little earlier. You know, you're going to see Sky Moore with, you know, more targets today. Kadarius Toney possibly getting some run. I'm excited to see if Justin Ross can get in there and get some things going for him. So, again, it stinks that, you know, Kelce's probably not going to play tonight. But at that point, you move forward and you say, hey, here we go. You got to play with the guys you're given.
And, again, the Kansas City defense without, you know, their anchor still. I don't think that's going to be a huge issue for them. I mean, they've deepened up at that front.
Yeah, they've brought in a bunch of guys in the front, and I think they'll be okay up there. The other thing is people are going to walk away from this game and say, well, but Detroit ran the ball really well against you. They're going to, because I fully expect Detroit to come out in 22 personnel, which is two backs, two tight ends. You're going to see a fullback most all game, and they are going to run their new toy, Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back out of Alabama, who was their first-round pick. I think they're just going to run him downhill and hope for the best and shoot out when they have to, but I do. I expect them to run a fullback, two tight ends, and just run the ball downhill.
And the flip side of that is, what you do when you do that, and we talk about this frequently, you limit the touches of the Kansas City offense.
Yep, and I think that's kind of the goal, right? The more that you can keep 15 sitting down on the sideline is probably way to beat this team.
Unless he's going to hurt you. So anyway, Chiefs begin the 2023 football season tonight at 7:20 as I'm surprised they're, you know, a 4.5-point favorite. I thought they'd probably be maybe more than that.
Yeah, I think kind of depending on where you're at, 4.5, 6.5, when they announced that Kelce got hurt, I think it kind of went from 6.5 to 4.5. And I think when you heard Chris Jones wasn't going to play, it went from 6.5 to 6.5. Like, I don't think anybody was really worried about the Chris Jones, more so on the Kelce. Over-under still 52.5.
Bengals-Browns are Sunday at high noon, and I don't know. Are the Browns good enough even?
I don't think so. I think the bigger question right now is, you know, Joe Burrow, will he really play? They're all leaning towards that he will. And there's some rumblings out of Cincinnati that new deal may just get released before the game on Sunday, because Joe Burrow is going to reset the quarterback market. I mean, and he probably should at this point until 15 tops his deal again. But I don't know. I don't expect this to be really that close of a game. The people out in the desert think it is. Cincinnati only a 2.5-point favorite.
Dolphins are going to be at the Chargers, and this is going to be a game of I'm just telling you, these are a couple of postseason kind of teams.
Yeah, and whoever wins this game is going to, at the end of the season, have the tiebreaker over the other one.
Yes.
I think this is a huge game for both these teams. I know that the Chargers are a three-point favorite, but I think I just like the Dolphins and all their weapons.
Sunday night football, I always enjoy watching the night game on Sunday. I'm going to enjoy this one because the Giants and the Cowboys do not like one another. I mean, they've got the they go way back between Cowboys and Giants or Cowboys and Eagles, who they like less. But Cowboys, everybody's talking big. They're thinking maybe for the first time in 20 years they can make the postseason.
And you're feeling on that?
No, they just find some way to mess it up.
They just tend to get in their way more than anything. And how many times are we going to see Jerry on TV Sunday night, right? I mean, I think you're going to probably see him more than you see shots of Mike McCarthy. And the other thing is everybody will kind of be looking at Trey Lance, even though he won't play. There's a lot of questions. Like, I just think the Cowboys get themselves into more trouble than not, and it'll be kind of weird, too, to see a Cowboys game with no Zeke.
Okay, it is. And now, one last thing about the Cowboys, and we'll probably bump on the second half of this a little bit later when we talk about the college, but the rumbles that you hear, and the people who I think, you know, maybe a little tongue-in-cheek, but maybe not totally, just saying, this time next year, it's not McCarthy, it's Prime.
Yeah, I just don't think Prime would do it.
You don't think?
I think he feels like he could. I just don't feel like he would.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. But, yeah, I get you.
Monday Night Football is going to be the Bills and the Jets. They're going to start right off with a big, big, big divisional game. And I tell you what, the Jets have something to prove. Their new quarterback thinks he's got something to prove. And the Bills are a team that have been in the playoffs just perennially. And some people don't think they'll be back.
I feel like, and I'm going to eat my words, I'm sure in February you're going to pull this clip back out and say, see, you were wrong. I just feel like the Bills have peaked, right? It feels like the Josh Allen thing, even though he's a really good quarterback, he's just kind of where he's going to be. And as much as Bills fan hates to hear this, maybe he's Jim Kelly, right? He's a good quarterback. He's going to win you a whole lot of regular season games. He's going to get to the playoffs. He's just not going to be good enough to get the team over. And so I just think that, you know.
So is Alex Smith?
Maybe. You know,
a really good quarterback that just never quite finished it.
And so I think if you're the Bills right now, like they've been trying to hold on to that one team that, you know, got really close against Kansas City a few years ago in the AFC title game. I think you're to the point where you blow up everything around the quarterback and try to rebuild it all and say, hey, I like my quarterback. Let's just do a fresh start all across the board.
Well, college football is going to get another fresh week. It was an exciting first week of college football. Craziness transpired all over the nation. And some of the craziness was down at Memorial Stadium, all right? As what you say, they filled the booth. Is that right?
Yeah, filled the booth. And for Kansas, it was a little scary at times against Missouri State. But then as the game progressed, they pulled away and came away with a nice win. Jalen Daniels was going to be the starter, everybody thought. Had to back tighten up on him a little bit. But Jason Bean came in and played really well for the Hawks. So this week, they're going to be at home with Illinois.
Friday.
The game will be Friday game,
yeah.
6:30. So,
another Friday, just like last week when we had to drive through the traffic.
Yeah, KU a three-point favorite, over under 58. And I think if Jalen Daniels does play, I think Kansas comes away with another big win.
K-State's going to come away with another big win because they're not really going to be challenged much as they're going to have Troy at Bill Snyder Family Stadium.
Yeah, Troy is one of those teams who, you know, might put up a little bit of a fight for a half.
Are they even one, Division One, or is it 1A?
Yeah, they're Division One.
Okay.
But I just don't think that they'll be able to hang around into the second half. K-State should cruise in that game.
Texas A&M is going to take a national ranking down to Dade County. And they're going to be playing the Hurricanes in Miami, coming away with a W to start things.
Yeah, so Miami won last week. I think they all of a sudden look like they're starting to put some pieces together, but every Canes fan says that, I think, every year after the first week. You'll get a good idea about Texas A&M. If Miami can beat Texas A&M, maybe the Canes are going to be a force in that ACC, especially with Clemson down.
Nebraska, okay. This is the game that everybody's watching. This is the game that I'm going to pay attention to. Nebraska, Colorado.
Did I see something yesterday that this game has more wagered on it than any NFL game in week one?
Yep.
I mean, all of a sudden, Colorado has become everybody's darling. And let's not get it twisted that Colorado is going to be a playoff contender, because I just don't think they will be. But good for Coach Prime. good for Colorado. This would be a real nice bump when they move into the Big 12 next season. And again, I think it's really awesome what Coach Prime has done. And basically, he said, I got some good players. Some of them are really good that I'm going to play them on offense. I'm going to play them on defense, special teams, whatever. Yeah, I don't believe in Nebraska. Colorado, a 3-point favorite. I think that they'll have no problems doing that.
Well, here's the problem. And I've always liked Nebraska. I mean, they were dominant back in the good Big 8 days when they and Colorado were playing annually. But
that was before I was alive.
That was a while. And here's the thing. There's only one big team, Big 10 team, with a worse record than Nebraska in the last 5 years. That's Rutgers.
Oh, I was going to say Northwestern. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. The last time Nebraska won a conference title, Bill Clinton was the president. K-State's won 3 since that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Nebraska fan is hungry, starving.
In that amount of time, K-State's won 3 Big 12 titles. Kansas has gone to and won a BCS bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, like, let's stop and think about how bad must Nebraska football be.
But how good is Texas? Because number 11 Texas is going to go to number 3 Alabama. I just don't see Texas even staying close. It's a 7-point game they're calling up. Can't imagine it's that close.
Yeah, it's a Saturday night game. A lot of eyes will be on it, but I can't buy into Texas. And so I do buy into Nick Saban in Alabama, and I think, you know, Bama should roll.
There you go. Hey, we're going to roll to a couple of great venues for college football this weekend here on Care Radio. Tomorrow night, it'll be the Tigers at home in Effingham, Kansas. We're going to have NEKL football, JCN at ACCHS tomorrow night at 7, right after Friday Night Fever. We're going to then Saturday have another night game, a 6 o'clock kickoff, 5:45 for the pregame show, Benedictine at Graceland. And again, after the high school game Friday night, stick around for the high school football scoreboard show. We've got to thank our fantastic sponsors. Appreciate them so much. Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Taco John's. Till we greet you next time, for Gus Couch, Tom Couch. So long, everybody.